everyone, welcome to the Wit Girls podcast. I'm your host, Lise Rasmussen. WIT stands for Women in Tech, but this podcast is not only for women. It's for anyone who wants to learn about the latest news and experiences from working with the Microsoft 365 cloud services and apps, and with a special focus on SharePoint and Teams. I believe that sharing is caring. Let's get this show started. Hey listeners, welcome to episode 58. It's the 19th of September and autumn is here. I love this colder, darker weather and how the autumn paints our woods with gold and red colors. It's awesome. I'm so sorry for the episode delay. I've been very busy with work the last months and have not really had time to focus on the podcast. And I don't want to publish an episode just because it's time to publish one. I want to publish when I can focus on interesting content and there's something to share with you listeners. So I hope you stay with me in the podcast because it will continue, although it can sometimes take a bit longer time between the episodes. The corona situation here in Stockholm, Sweden, is that on the 29th of this month, they release the restrictions so that we can go back to normal life. Well, almost anyway. I don't think normal life will happen in the coming years as we knew it, but at least it means that we can visit concerts, conferences, and so on, and there are no limits in how many that can participate on events like that, and that's a relief at least. Until now we've not been allowed to stand in the bar, for instance, but after this date we can do that. And I have mixed feelings about this, because when I travel on the metro now, it's so crowded again with people everywhere, and I don't like being so close to other people, corona or not. But at the same time, I want to be able to go to concerts and conferences and events. So, well, then you have to stand close to others because that's the way it works. The price we have to pay for our freedom, it's to be close to other people. I also, of course, hope that we can get rid of the corona disease once and for all and win back the beer name. I wonder how the corona beer sales goes these days. Currently, I'm working on 6 different assignments, and it is intense and quite tough to handle that many different assignments and customers at the same time, but it's getting better as I'm finalizing many of these projects now, like rolling out intranets, rolling out apps and so on. And it's also fun at the same time. It's this job has a constant learning curve, which I really enjoy. One of the intranets are built on 5 languages, and we have used the built-in translation language settings in SharePoint Online. But it has been a challenge for the editors because they sometimes forget how this works and creates the news in their own language instead. So how does the language settings work then? When you enable language translation on the SharePoint site, let's say you have English is the default, and then you add Swedish, Norwegian, Danish, and Finnish, and other languages, then what happens is that if you create a news post or a page on that site, it should be created in English first, because that's the default language. So if you don't publish in any other languages, you will still have one news in English. Then, when you are ready to publish the news, you can click on the translation button, and then that copies that page into the other languages. And these pages are stored in different language folders on the site, in the site pages library. And if you have set up your site to have specific editors for the different languages, which you can do in the language settings on the site, then these editors will receive an email as soon as you hit that translation button. So they will see that they have something to translate and they can publish it at the same time. But what happened was that the editors created the news and pages in their own language first, let's say Danish, and they never clicked the translation button. So that Danish news page was rolled up in all news feeds on the internet, for instance, or on other sites where you have this news feed, and in Danish only, because there were no other language versions. And what that then means is that when a Swedish visitor goes into the language-controlled intranet, they will see this Danish news rolled up instead of a Swedish translated one. What the editor did wrong was, one, they did not create the news in English first, and two, they didn't click the translation button. And we had trained them on this, but I think they simply forgot that this was the way to do it. So we saw a risk with that and decided instead to build the sites in their local languages and control what's being rolled up on the internet news feeds using audience targeting instead. So each of their users is added into a country-specific ID group, and those groups are then used as audience target groups on news and information and web parts that should be rolled up somewhere. So it became a manual language control. Another assignment I'm working on is kind of a document lifecycle management tool in Teams. So when the Microsoft Teams team should be deleted or archived, then the team owner may want to save some of the files for a longer storage. Because when you delete the team, you will also delete the site and everything connected to it. And the documents will only be in a trash bin for 93 days and then they are gone. And I've talked about this earlier in this podcast in way many back episodes back in time, that I would love to have an option where I could say that I would like to save the SharePoint site when you delete the team. Because there is a knowledge in that site that's connected to the team. Let's say you have a project team and you want to close the project because you want to save some space in Teams, right? You have so many teams that you're a member of and you would like to set a status maybe to the project that it's closed. But you don't want to delete the files because during this project you've learned a lot and this information is valuable and you probably want to go back and see how did we work in this project and maybe we can reuse some of the documents that has come out of the project and so on. So we would like to store this on a document archive site, for instance, where you have like read permissions. Everyone has read permissions. And also we would like to create a Teams template with an archive settings ready on it. So when the users want to archive or delete the team, they have an archive option ready that would move certain files into this document archive. So it's a bit of retention, but also with some document life management on it. So how do we solve this then? There's no way to do this out of the box. So we have to build some solutions to manage this. And we don't want team owners to add the files into their OneDrives either, because this is information that's interesting for everyone in the company. It's not a personal working document. It's actually shared with others. So there should be no problem accessing these files and should not have to be on anyone's personal OneDrive. And I have researched a few options for building a solution like this. It was not straightforward. There will be stops everywhere. You come like 80% and then you have to, it didn't work all the way. Here are some of the things I tried and I did find a solution that works finally. But I started with the one that's the most simple one, and that is adding a metadata column in the document library that's connected to the site called archive. You know, on the files tab you have your documents in Teams with the folders, but if you open the SharePoint site you can add metadata columns. So I added one called archive and set to a yes no box, and I set it to default no, of course. So when the user would click in that box to set the archive to yes, then the flow would be triggered and move those documents or folders into this archive site. And then you could also see easily what documents and folders you had archived. This is, of course, super easy to set up, but for the users, it's not so easy, because in Teams, on the Files tab, there is no way for you to handle the metadata on the files. You can't open that files view in the grid view so that you can work with the metadata. And even if you add a new tab with the entire SharePoint library on it, yes, you could go in and work with the metadata on that, but this customer in this case, thought that that would be too complicated for the user. They would not be able to handle this, and they would be confused, like, why do we have the files on the files tab and then we have the files on another tab also? So they saw a risk in that, and they said that this may be like that, that we will never have anything saved from this team. It will just be deleted and removed. So we had to drop the metadata option. Then I thought, okay, I will build a forms form instead and added that to a tab together with a specific archive channels. And when the project should close, they simply move all the files into the archive channel. And then the team owner would fill in this forms form with information about the team name, project owner, and other information around the project, and simply click on submit the form. And then I had a flow that picked up the response and moved the files into the common archive, and also set the proper metadata to the columns in the archive, so they would also have metadata on their files. Perfect solution, I thought. So I went ahead and created a Teams template for this, because that was one of the purposes, to have like a project Teams template for the organization. But did the form follow in the Teams template? Nope. The only thing that the template brought was the tab that said, here you can add the form, but not the form itself. So disappointing. And I will talk a little bit more about Teams templates later, what you can do and not. So then we had to drop that solution. So now we are moving into the more complex parts of things, because with the forms and with the metadata options, that would have been easy for the customer self to govern, for the admins to govern. But now we move into the third and the last and the most complex solution, which also works, of course. But that was to build a Power App with a flow and add it as an app in the Teams catalog, and then add that app into a Teams template. So I built a Power App just the same as I did with the form. I built a Power App that the team owner had to fill in the project metadata and all that stuff, and simply click on a button called archive. And that Power App is connected to SharePoint list. So I have a flag there to set the team that it's ready to be archived. And that triggers the flow that archives the files into the archive site. But I also added an action to archive the team itself. The only thing I haven't been able to solve is how to remove the members. We only want the owner to stay in that team. But I think this is in beta still. I haven't been able to figure that one out. But anyway, the team gets archived and that all works really smooth. So now I have embedded that into my Teams template. When it comes to the governance part, we see a risk here if they need to go in and change the Power App somehow. I thought, because they had like a few folders in this document archive, like a few top folders where they wanted people to choose what top folder they should save their project documents inside in, because otherwise it would be like 1,000 folder long structure when they came into the archive. So they wanted some sort of structure in the document archive. So then I did a drop down box in the Power App where they had to choose what folder they would like to store these document, these project files inside. And that document folder list is a SharePoint list in the document archive site, where it's just a simple list where they can add in like purchasing files. So when they wanted to add a new folder in this document archive, they simply go into this parameter list, add the new name of the folder, and the flow will pick up that name and create the folder for them in the archive. So then they didn't have to go into the Power App to make changes. They could just simply go into the SharePoint list to make changes, which is an easier way to do this. Of course, if they want to change the whole management of how they should archive files, or they want to add another field, you know, for something, then they need to learn how Power Apps works. And when I talked to the customer, they said that no one has like time to do this stuff, and then they would have to contact us to make those changes. And yeah, that's the risk, but maybe this is simple enough and they can at least get started and get their project files out of the Teams and into an archive site. Let's just talk a little bit about Teams templates. So what you can do now is you go into the Teams admin center, and there you have a link to create Teams templates, and you can create them either from an empty, you can start from an existing team, or you can duplicate an existing Teams template. So what I did was that I had my team set up in Teams, like this is my template, I've added all the tabs I wanted, I added my Power App, and I added some few document templates on the new button because I wanted to have like a project structure and project related templates on the new button, and also some folders that were like prepared in the team. So I went ahead and created a template. The only frustration is that you have to wait like up to 24 hours before you can try out your template. If you want to build a Teams template, I suggest you just prepare everything that you can imagine that you would like to have in the template and just add those stuff and try it out, because it takes a long time to do this trial and error. And I must say I'm a bit disappointed about how the templates work. I thought that if you set up everything, like I just said, with all the tabs, apps and content, and then all of that would be included, but no, it's not. The only thing that is included is the structure of the team, you know, so the tabs will be there. Not even the things I wrote on that default wiki page, you know. I had like a how project management, you know, describing the process and how we archive and all that nice stuff added in the team. That was not added at all. So you won't get any content in your template, only like the structure. And you can add the app like I told before, but you need to first add that app in the Teams app catalog. I think if you need to have content on your Teams template, you need to work with like PMP or some other ways that I haven't really looked into yet. That's another story, but I will totally look into this. Maybe you could like build a flow that would populate your new team with folders and content. But that's something I need to try out before I can say that it would work like that. Interesting findings anyway. Okay, now over to some of the latest news from SharePoint and other apps in the Microsoft 365 world. But first, I want to play a trailer from Daniel Anderson, whose show I will attend later this month. He has a new podcast called The Daniel Anderson Audio Experience. And I really look forward to join that show. Daniel has been a guest on my show twice, in episode 51 and 35. And it will be fun to talk to him again there, down under might. So here's his trailer.
G'day there everyone, Daniel Anderson here, and welcome to my audio experience. Now, what is this audio experience all about? Well, work and life are being reinvented at superhuman speed, and hybrid work models are now becoming the norm. Never has mobility, productivity, retention, and business strategy been so important. Now, this era really is becoming defined by employee experience. With this podcast, I plan to bring you practical insights, knowledge, and key takeaways, not only from me, but from others in the employee experience space. So I'm really looking forward to bringing you some great content around everything that will allow organizations to create great employee experience and for individuals to take advantage of the tools that are at their disposal. Everything from Microsoft 365, SharePoint, Microsoft Teams, To-Do, the Power Platform, through to leadership, productivity, well-being, and everything in between.
Thank you, Daniel, for that awesome trailer. It's time for some SharePoint news. The first one I want to start with is the Apply a Site Template setting, which you will find on your SharePoint sites online on the settings button. And there is a new option called Apply a Site Template. And you do this on your existing sites. And what it does is that it opens up a screen with templates. And they are different depending on if you're on a team site or a communication site. So they look really fancy. I've tried them out, and they will apply maybe some content and they will rearrange your site. Now, it won't overwrite any existing content on your site. It would simply add if there are any lists or any folders or some content that it's adding for the template, but it won't overwrite any existing content on your site. And if you want to undo the changes, if you want to try out another template, you can simply just go back to the one that's called default, and then it goes back to the default settings, but it will keep all the content it has added. And you can of course customize your site even if you have added these templates. But if you want to add your own templates, you need to create them through PMP, the site design concept. So there is no way of saving a site in the UI yet, but I'm hoping and guessing that that will be the case in the future. The next news I want to talk about is visualize your list with Power BI. And this new feature showed up recently in my SharePoint Lists app, where you can bring your list data to live through Power BI. So there is a new link to this on the integrate button. You will be taken to a Power BI report that shows your list data in graphs automatically without you having to do nothing. That's good. Always like that. And it brings out some great graphs and stuff. Of course, this all depends on what Power BI license you'll have. So that might be a limitation there, of course. Currently, you can add a maximum of 3 measures and 4 categories. And you can select and unselect fields to update the graphs. And then you can publish these. So you will have a button in your report. And then that link to that report will be added into that same button, the integrate button in the SharePoint list. So when you have published that report, you go back to your list and you click on the integrate button and the Power BI. And on that menu, you'll have a link to that new report. And everyone who has access to the list can see that report. Very cool. If you want to see some examples on how this works, visit my blog on sharepointbabe.com. I have written articles about these new features there, so you can see some image examples and read more information about these features. A new web part just showed up the other day called Feed for Viva Connections. But this web part shows a feed from conversations, news, and stream videos that are personalized for you based on communities and sites that you follow. And Viva Connections is connected to that left side menu we got, the global navigation bar that we have in SharePoint now. And also you get your internet experience inside of Teams. Viva Connections is rolling out now to standard release also. So I have enabled it for 2 customers already. And it's really good. You get the intranet connections inside of your Teams client, so you can add like a button with a company logo on it. And when you click on that, you'll see the intranet news and you can navigate in the mega menu from your intranet and so on. And this requires, of course, that your intranet is a home site in SharePoint Online. And I also noticed in SharePoint Admin Center on the settings link there, that you now can set your home site in the UI. You don't have to run the PowerShell command anymore. So once you've set up your home site, you can create the Viva Connections dashboard from the home site's settings panel. And then create custom dashboard cards so that you can target specific topics to help employees find relevant resources and complete essential tasks. And you can use something called the Viva Connections extensibility for building even more engaging cards like this on your dashboard. I have not been able to try that, so that is something to experiment with when that comes out. You can also publish videos. So videos hosted on SharePoint sites can be published as video news links from any SharePoint organizational news site, and they will then appear in this Viva Connections feed. And I guess here it comes in with that new web part that's really not really alive yet. Maybe I have to go and create some dashboards before things really shows up in that web part I just talked about. You will also be able to do the Viva Connections branding from the Teams Admin Center. So you can go in and change the logo and everything like that more easy than up until now we have had to run this with a PowerShell script. I want to mention some of the things that are coming also, and this new SharePoint hub-to-hub associations. I know we talked about this way many episodes back in time where they released this news, but now it's actually coming and being rolled out so that you can have a shared search experience and everything that comes with a hub. So you can have several hubs and you can associate them together. So this will help users to discover more relevant content when searching on any sites related to the associated hubs. And the SharePoint administrators can do this association in the SharePoint Admin Center. And I guess you can also roll up information between the hubs like we do today with the hub. Another great news that's coming is the SharePoint Navigation Switcher. You know, when you have your team sites, you have this left side navigation with all the links to documents and lists and all that. And while you are on a communication site, that same menu is actually horizontal. So you will be able to switch from having this vertical menu to that horizontal on your team sites. And also if you want to have it like a mega menu or the cascading one. A very welcome news, as we have intranets that has this horizontal mega menu, and then it aligns better with the look and feel. Oh, this is a great improvement. You will soon be able to add images inside the text web part. I get this question a lot from editors. Hey, can we have an image aligned with the text inside the text web part? And until now, you have not been able to do that. You need to put all images inside its own image web part. You could, of course, solve it by having two columns side by side, but it still won't have that nice integration with the text around the image and so on. You will be able to paste inline images into the text web part so that images can be a bit closer to the text and it wrap around images. Small changes like this, that makes us happy. You are listening to the WIT Girls podcast. If you like us, we would be so happy if you could give us a 5-star rate in iTunes. It helps us reach more listeners. Thank you for listening. Over to some Teams news. This made me laugh the other week when users started to ask why there is a P on their user profile picture in Teams. Yeah, it's not like anyone has taken a piss on the profile picture. It is actually indicating that the user is in public preview channel of Teams. So you will see a small P on your profile picture, but don't be sad, it's actually a good thing. And this public preview is enabled on a per user basis, and the option to turn on public preview is controlled in an admin policy. Let's talk about some things that's coming to Teams also. Oh, you will be so happy for this one. Soon you will be able to reply to specific chat messages in the Teams desktop. So with this update, Teams desktop users will get the ability to reply to specific messages in chats from the message actions menu, so that you will get more context into conversations, like what are you answering today. You're just answering and it's just the most recent message, and you're not really sure what of the conversations you are answering to. So this feature will be really helping out in those long chats that we have in the conversations tab. Another great new thing is if you have been using breakout rooms, you will now be able to do pre-meeting room creation and participant assignment so that you can better prepare for meetings where you have breakout rooms. So you can bulk create or delete rooms. You can add, delete, or rename individual rooms. You will be able to configure the meeting options for each room and adjust the settings and more. And one last thing regarding Teams, the shared channels is coming soon. And I talked about shared channels many episodes ago. So it's time for us to get all these news that we've heard about so long now. So I really look forward to shared channels, because that will be an option for you to share a channel with external partners. You can share it across Teams channels, so we don't have to create all these teams and channels everywhere. We can instead use the ones we have and instead invite people crossover into the channels. That will be a really improvement, I think. It's already, you're a member of too many teams and there are too many channels in each team. So if we can reduce those, that would be a great improvement, I think. So this is coming soon. Sharing is caring, right? Okay, so this last news is regarding Power Apps and something that I heard a rumor about. I haven't really seen any time frame for it, or I couldn't find it either in the Microsoft 365 roadmap, but I heard someone mention that, you know, when you build Power Apps, you can only be one developer in the app at a time because you are locking each other's sessions. That is one thing that I found annoying when we were two people working on the same app and you had to wait until the edit locked released, so you could not co-author or co-edit the app at the same time. But this is something that will come, I've heard, and that would be great, because developing an app, if you are many people working on it at the same time, it's really difficult when you are locking each other's sessions. And I'm just really curious, if we have several screens in the app, which we normally do when you work with the Power App, you have like a welcome screen, and then you have a gallery screen, you might have a form screen, and so on. So what if I am in the app working on one screen and doing a lot of changes, and my colleague is working on another screen at the same time and doing a whoopsie, you know, so they are like, oh, I want to go back in version history and restore to a previous version. What will then happen with my work that I've done on my screens? Maybe I've added lots of codes and lots of new screens and all that stuff. So I'm wondering just how the version history will work on that. Yep, something to look forward to. It's always exciting to work with Microsoft 365 and all the news that's coming. I hope you enjoyed today's show. I want to thank you so much for listening. And I will post a link to the Daniel Anderson show so that you can listen to the episode when I'm a guest if you want to. Or just listen to his podcast in general. It's great. And you can always reach out to me on withgirlspod@gmail.com or visit my Instagram account @withgirlspod if you have any questions or feedback to me. And thank you so much for today. Cheers! Thank you for listening to the With Girls podcast. If you like the show, I would be so happy if you would rate and subscribe to it in iTunes, Spotify, Podcaster, or any other podcast app you use. It means a lot to me as it helps me reach more listeners. If you have any feedback, questions, or guest suggestions, you can contact me on withgirlspod@gmail.com. You can follow the podcast on Instagram on the account @withgirlspod or visit withgirlspodcast.podbean.com. The music theme is made by Mikael Weisflog. Take care, cheers!